Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thank you, Papa.
You got it, Papa.
Oh, don't start that.
You ready,
help
Papa?
People, help people, help people, help people.
Who are you talking
help
to?
People,
I don't know, but this thing's working right now. You feeling this, Papa?
I don't like that, man.
Chan?
I got two kids.
Me and Solana?
Nope. Lil Channing and Ava.
5 o'clock hour, Hockman and Crowder and Papa brought to you by Funky Buddha Brewery. Funky Buddha, happy hour.
When I need a Funky Buddha with this type music.
Tell you what.
That's a party.
You want to get the weekend off on the good foot, go get yourself some Funky Buddha. What's the new one that you've been raving about?
The Cosmic IPA.
And no, there was another one that you had mentioned.
There's the
El Camino.
Oh, the El Camino. El Camino. Oh, my goodness gracious. It's an IPA. You know I like the hoppy stuff, and it's special. But the Creek Jumper, too. A double IPA.
So is that available?
It's not canned yet because it was a small batch. But, yes, if you go to Oakland Park up there to the tap room, Funky Buddha tap room, the Creek Jumper is on the tap.
That is named for Channing Crowder, who was unable to jump a creek. We've seen the video. Mike Cuno did a special report on it on Channel 4.
Yes. Double IPA with peaches. And actually, Ryan and KC, the owners, asked me, you know, what would you want to do? Like, what about you? Where are you from? And I was like, I grew up in Georgia. They're like, let's throw some peaches in there. And they created the double IPA with peaches, the Creek Jumper, and it is damn delicious.
So if you go to the Funky Buddha tap room up there in Oakland Park, order the Creek Jumper. Yep. Call it Channing Crowder's Creek Jumper. We suggested that it would be called Failed Creek Jumper, but whatever.
A little more positive. We wanted to, you think you tough.
I do want to do that one.
I said they
can I get
do
a
it
cup of, you think you tough. Because if you go up there and order like, hey, can I get a glass of you think you tough? I'm sorry, we don't have that or whatever. And then the person next, like, you know, pans to the person next to them. One.
You think you tough.
Yeah.
Got to grit those teeth.
Boom, it's right there. Yes, sir. Here you go.
But they got a whole bunch of stuff. They have the mixology series with all kind of Manhattan double rye ales. Like, what's going on right now, Funky Buddha, is crazy.
Well, the Team USA, you heard it in the update there. They have defeated France. They are on to the semifinals, and nice job by them. Been a loaded show, and this Funky Buddha happy hour feels a little extra special. I'm going on vacation next 2 weeks, so I will not be back till July 15th. You're going to do the show next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yep.
And then you'll be gone for the next week and a half, so yes. We'll reconvene on July 15th. You were talking earlier about the list of NBA free agents at CBSSports.com. They did a 50 under the radar players in the free agent market.
50?
50. Ooh. And ranked them. No particular order, but 50 under the player radar, under the radar players. Under the radar in quotes, because like the number one guy they have listed is Patrick Beverley. He's not under the radar, but that guy will make a team better.
Oh, for sure.
He'll make a team crazier, but he'll make a team better.
Defensively, though, he's not scared of anybody. KD, LeBron, put him out there. James Harden, put the player on the court, and Patrick Beverley will guard him.
How about this one? Number two, Isaiah Thomas.
I don't want him.
You talk about a fall from grace. I mean, this guy was going to be a max player.
He was MVP.
He was on the level of Kyrie and Steph for a brief moment in time.
Yep.
We looked at him and we would debate, who would you rather have, you know, handling the ball?
And now it's
Isaiah Thomas.
He sits at the end of the bench.
Crazy, right?
I better bring out those Brink trucks.
On a kid chair.
Remember when he tweeted that?
I do. And no, but you would like it wasn't out of place for him to say it. I mean, you remember that series, that playoff series with Boston? That was the coming out party.
It was against the Wizards, right? After his sister passed away, I think
was it against Washington?
He scored like 18 straight.
Yeah, it was insane.
At 40 something points,
and had his tooth knocked out, and still went out there
and
kept balling.
Like, yeah, he was a killer.
But his little body broke down, man.
Yeah,
that's the thing. They're too little. He is too little to be out there banging with LeBron and guys of that size. That's crazy for him to be out there.
Elfrid Payton, do anything for anybody?
Decent.
I like the name Elfrid.
I like the hair.
Yeah.
Seth Curry?
Oh, no. No.
You don't want the Bobo Curry?
They ran me off of Seth during that series. And his brother played him. It's Curry versus Curry. No, the hell it's not.
Nerlens Noel?
And his knee shot?
Yeah, he's kind of a scrub.
Wasn't he a number one pick?
Number two, I believe.
Number two? He was Philadelphia, right?
Yeah.
But was injured coming into the league and never got healthy.
Kevon Looney? You had mentioned him. That would be a good keep for Golden State.
He was the sixth pick overall.
Oh, he was only sixth pick? I mean, not that, but it's not a 1-2. Rodney Hood, Wayne Ellington, DeAndre Jordan.
8 years ago, I'd take him.
Jonas Valanciunas. Remember against Miami?
Yes.
Remember Valanciunas?
Him and Bismack Biyombo.
Yeah.
Like, they made, I don't know what it was, but I guess it was because Stoudemire was starting for Miami, but those guys look like they were. It was Patrick Ewing.
It
and
was
Bill
the Twin Towers. Like, it, I mean, it was crazy. But Jonas Valanciunas, like, I mean, you thought this guy was the next coming, the way we did, you know, Hassan Whiteside.
Didn't he beat up Whiteside a couple years ago?
I feel like I remember something between him and Whiteside.
In a series, they whooped the Heat and
they outplayed him like crazy.
Yeah, they take him out.
Yes.
Yeah. I like Valanciunas.
Rajon Rondo.
No.
Joakim Noah? You're a Gator.
Bro, I would, all heart of all hearts, I would rather sign Shaquille O'Neal to play center for me right now than Joakim Noah.
Is that how bad Rondo's fallen? He's only one name above Joakim Noah.
Well,
on the
again,
list.
It's in no particular order, but you don't want to be on this list regardless. Joakim Noah, do you know where he played last season?
Yeah, Memphis, right?
Memphis. I had no idea.
I was going to say, don't ask me. And he's a Gator.
He was, though, when he came out, man. That was my kind of guy. Just, you know, guy who's out there having fun. He'll get in your face.
He had the guns, right? Wasn't that him? He'd make a shot. He'd come down the court with doing the guns.
With the arms out, yeah. Now he was fun. He's a fun guy.
He's a fun guy.
Nah, Florida, man. He's like a hippie. He's real hippie-ish. He was cool.
Remember in the playoffs when I think it was Bosch and Chalmers were like bitching at each other and he got in their face, starts clapping, right? Like he was trying to get them amped up.
That was the good old times at Florida.
Kyle Korver, Damari Carroll, Austin Rivers.
I'll tell you, Kyle Korver got a place on my team because he can stand there and hit them shots.
But you got to have some threats so that he could actually be open.
I think Kyle Korver to L.A. so he can just stand there in
his
spot.
Yeah, and LeBron liked him. LeBron liked him.
But like that. That's what the Heat need. That's why they drafted a Hero, because they needed a shooter.
Shane Larkin is on this list.
He's been in, I think, Turkey for the last couple of years.
Larkin led Anadolu Efes to the EuroLeague Final Four. Yeah, Turkish League. To its first Turkish League title in a decade, winning finals MVP, dropped 38 points in Game 7. Boston can extend the qualifying offer, make him a restricted free agent, but it probably needs the cap space to chase a star. Derrick Rose?
Mm-mm.
Remember that game last season?
Oh, he'll give you one game a year.
Remember that game?
Give you a game a year.
You remember that game? Writes on CBS, I have no idea what to make of Rose's bounce back season since so much of it was a direct result of out of nowhere improvement in his 3-point shooting. In his first 48 games of the season, Rose attempted 3.4 threes a game and made 45.7% of them. In his final 17, he attempted a total of 30 threes and made one.
That's Derrick Rose.
That's a fall off right there. I'm no mathematician.
Come on, Derrick.
But that is a fall off right there. We're going to do something interesting in the next segment. We talk about the Dolphins a lot, and it's offseason and whatever, but we talk about, they've got this guy coming, and they got that guy, and they're not going to be good, and the odds for them going to the playoffs is the lowest in Vegas. There's no chance. We're critical of the Dolphins, and we sing their praises when they do something great, like the miracle in Miami. We have fun with the Dolphins. But the Dolphins, and we don't talk about it enough, they're really good, upstanding members of the community. The Miami Dolphins organization goes above and beyond to try to be a partner to the community.
Yes, uplift South Florida.
And every level. If you follow on social media, you know, the people that are involved in it, Nat Moore is going to join us in the next segment, but Nat Moore, Twan Russell, Jason Jenkins, they are always out doing something community oriented. So there was this story, and Nat was busy at the beginning of the week, but I did want to bring him on and sing his praises. Edison Senior High in Miami, they had a fire, and it was in the storage area where they keep all the football equipment. And Nat Moore went to Edison when he grew up down here, and the Dolphins stepped forward. I think the fire was on Sunday, and the Dolphins by that night had told Edison, "We will replace all the equipment." And it's just an unbelievably generous, quick. You know what I mean? Obviously, that's a phone call.
Yep.
Right? Nat Moore to Stephen Ross, and we know that they're close. Nat Moore calls Stephen Ross, and Stephen Ross says, "Yeah, write that check."
Jason Jenkins gets behind it. Nat and those guys. I do a dozen and a half events a year. There's another 30 that I can't do because of work. But like you say, we don't talk about it enough. The Dolphin alumni and organization does so much for South Florida that the list would go on. And we could talk about it for a whole show, to be honest.
And save your texts. Oh, I don't care. Let them win on the field. That's fine. We want them to win on the field, too. And when they're not, we're going to be critical of them.
Yeah.
And if they're making the wrong personnel moves, we're going to be critical of them. But I'm telling you, as an aside, as a separate entity, the work that they do in the community is unparalleled, I believe, by any sports franchise down here.
I'll tell you, I'm not a fan of LeBron. I just don't like his disposition in life. What he does for the community, that I promise school.
I mean, it's unbelievable, right?
It's unbelievable. All respect to him. Even though I'm not a fan of his on the court, his personality, his philanthropy has to be respected.
And so you can do that with the Dolphins. You can want them to win. You can be disappointed that they haven't won. But you can also applaud them for doing the right thing in a lot of occasions. So Nat Moore, who's also a Florida Gator, speaking of Joakim Noah.
Smart man.
Nat Moore, he is going to join us. We'll talk a little Dolphins philanthropy with him in the next segment. Radio.com. Everybody loves Solana's music on Fridays, man.
It's that smooth dancing music.
Yeah, man.
Nat Moore's a dancer.
Is he?
Oh, yeah. Nat gets down.
He can throw it down?
Yeah, man. I seen him out there cutting the rug once or twice.
To this day.
Oh, yeah. Oh, now I'm telling you, man. That's why you were talking about getting on Nat about the UMUF game. Don't get Nat too upset.
Well, we're going to have a dance off?
Might have an ass whooping off, and I got Nat winning.
This West Side Story?
I love you to death, Hog. I got Nat if y'all go at it.
If we go at it dancing?
Fighting.
Because I got the robot.
Oh, that's
you know I can do the robot.
But that's all you got. What about phase two?
Listen, you worry about what's good in your arsenal. That's what's good. You said Solana Nat is on the golf course?
He is.
All right, let's go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Nat Moore, who we probably don't talk to enough.
He's busy.
Receiver in the 70s and 80s. This dude caught, he was a favorite target of Bob Greasy and Dan Marino.
Yeah.
Nat Moore, and as I mentioned, Florida Gator, member of the University of Florida Hall of Fame.
I got to holler at him about trying to get me in the
door. So he outclasses you there.
Yes, how you see it?
part of the Dolphins broadcast team and a major part, as we've mentioned, with everything the Dolphins do in the community and with the alumni. I mean, he is as active with the Miami Dolphins as any alumni, right?
Well, when people call me, because people know I'm a part of the Dolphins doing the pregame, and they were like, hey, I need this. I was like, if you really want something to get done with the Dolphins, call Nat.
And then, as I've mentioned, there was this story this week about the Dolphins. They stepped up. And they were an upstanding partner to our community, and I wanted to give it some love on air. So Nat Moore is there, live from the golf course. You want to share what golf course you're on?
I'm up in Pennsylvania, up in the Marino country, and had the pleasure playing Laurel Valley yesterday, and today I'm out in a fundraiser that's raising money for veterans, especially the guys from World War II. So just doing the norm, having some fun, playing some golf, raising some money, and look forward to doing things like this. So, been blessed, being an old Red Raider, Edison Red Raider in the old days, and yes, Hawk, as much as y'all talk smack about UM in Florida, y'all going to get your behind whacked.
My man!
Wait a second. I don't think you know the fury that Manny Diaz is going to unleash on August 24th in Orlando.
Well, here's the one thing I do know. Manny ain't playing.
All right. We'll get there.
And Nat, without a quarterback, I don't know who's playing.
All
because
right.
They haven't even have their quarterback
down.
Set
you
yet.
Settle down.
It's just facts. We're just speaking facts right
you
now.
You settle down. Yeah, we'll wait. We'll get there. So you mentioned Edison. So this fire breaks out Sunday afternoon for people that hadn't seen the story at the field house at Edison Senior High School. And that was where the football team stored their equipment. And Nat, tell everyone your connection to Edison Senior High.
Yeah, I'm a 69 graduate. Played football there, basketball, and actually got my edumacation there, because that's where everything started for me. But it's always great when you see the Dolphins. I mean, they've been pillars in this community from 1966 when they first came here. And even going back to when I played, Jimmy Warren came and spoke at the school. So, the Miami Dolphins have always been good to the South Florida community. And, my hat's off to Steve Ross and Tom Garfinkel for them stepping up right away as soon as the fire happened to let Edison know that they were going to help them rebuild. Edison is a very poor high school. They don't have a lot of students there. They've got about 800-900 kids for a school that was set up for 2000. And that's because they've worked very hard, guys, not just to be good athletes and et cetera, but also to turn the program around where they're educating young people and not being a school where kids came that really didn't want to be in school. So, there's a lot of positive things going on over there at Miami Edison. And, football just one of them. Channing, as you know, when you can have great sports programs in high school and you get that school spirit, all of a sudden, everybody wants to go to school there, and I think Luther Campbell is doing a nice job of rebuilding the program, and for us to step up and provide the equipment necessary for them to be able to play is just the right thing to do.
And Nat, you've been around the Dolphins a long time, very instrumental in the community. Like when it happened at Edison, I heard the story of the fire when I heard how the Dolphins reached out to help Edison. It was almost like overnight, immediate. Like, how does that process go when y'all find somebody in need or a school in need or just something in need in South Florida? How does the process go where you can respond that fast as the Dolphin organization to help the community?
Well, I think it starts with Jason Jenkins, who just does a phenomenal job. He's a senior VP of communications and carries a lot of titles. And he works with our CR department. And in the process, as soon as that happened, believe it or not, Luther Campbell has become a real good friend of the organization as well. And he picked up the phone and let us know, and he reached out to Jason, and Jason started the ball rolling. And a young lady by the name of Ann Hake has been taking care of ordering all of the equipment, that's necessary. Hopefully we're going to have that in a couple weeks that we can present to him. I get a lot of credit because I went to school there, but everybody forgets that when Larry Little retired from the Miami Dolphins, he became the athletic director there at Edison. And Alonzo Highsmith's dad also coached there back in the, mid-'80s. So a lot of Dolphin involvement going way back to the 70s and the 80s. And, a guy named Freddie Woodson was principal. So, I mean, it's the right thing for us to do.
So the Dolphins ties run deep to Edison. It's more than just you.
Yes. But, Edison is one, at one point was one of only four high schools in Dade County. So it has a long, rich tradition and history. And like I say, for Steve Ross and Tom Garfinkel, as soon as we heard the news, they said, yes, let's make sure we get them the equipment there.
So for the listeners to know, Nat Moore from the Dolphins is with us. The Miami Dolphins are replacing all the equipment that Edison lost in the fire, correct?
Yes, they're replacing pretty much the stuff that was requested by Coach Campbell.
I mean, it's a pretty amazing, it's just, again, in the grand scheme of things, I understand it. You know, you got a multi-million dollar business that wants to help out. But like Nat is saying, you don't see, like, this is such a small little part of what the Miami Dolphins are continually doing in the community. And what I was saying before you came on, Nat, was I'm not asked by anyone by the Dolphins to bring you on to talk about it, to sing their praises. I did it because you guys do so much and we don't talk about it enough. And then I just wanted to give you a little bit of time to say, hey, for those of you that aren't aware, the Miami Dolphins, we're not talking about on the field stuff here. The Miami Dolphins are great partners in the community. Crowder knows it. I know it. And I'm not certain that a whole bunch of listeners, pay enough attention to that. And it's why we wanted you to talk about it a little bit.
Well, I appreciate that. But I also want to make sure that I say that throughout the history of the Miami Dolphins, everything starts at the top. Even back with Joe Robbie. I mean, Joe Robbie was the guy that was instrumental in getting quite a few of us into the community, along with Don Shula. So, then you get Wayne, and Wayne was probably the biggest community activist you ever wanted to meet. And now you got Steve Ross, who's the same way. So, the organization's been blessed in ownership with having owners that cared about South Florida and cared about the community.
And Nat, you got with the Dolphins. You've been with the Dolphins now since 74 because you played your entire career, and then you got directly into the business side, correct?
No, I actually went out and started doing my own thing, and while y'all were talking about me dancing, yes, I can dance. I used to own the nightclubs. I got to know how to dance.
Holy hell.
No, my dad has told me about Nat's nightclub.
Oh, my God.
It was the spot.
So, tell me, in Miami in the 80s, you owned nightclubs?
I had four.
Holy hell. The parties going on there had to be ridiculous.
And believe it or not, I used to let all the University of Miami players in free. Because the rules say I could do it for them, but when I couldn't do it for the guys that went to Florida.
Funny, man. Look at that. There is some common ground between Gators and Hurricanes after all.
It's Nat Moore.
And it's at Nat Moore's nightclub.
but then now, Nat, too, and we're close. We do a bunch of events together. Like, when did you, get back with the Dolphins? Like, what encouraged you to get back and give as much to you and hope to help an organization like you do? Because like I said, bro, I've told you before, when anyone calls me and asks about something going on, I tell every player, every ex-teammate, I say, bro, call Nat. He'll figure it out for you.
Well, I think it goes back that I really never left. And I've been in Miami all my life, Channing, and in the process, I opened up my own company where I was running events. I was actually running football camps for the Super Bowl for many years. And at the time when I decided not to do that anymore, I came back and Brian Wiedmeyer, who was president of the organization at the time, asked me to come in and start running events for them and run the Alumni Association. So I've been back in the front office now going on a little over 15 years, I think. But I've never really left. I was always involved with the Dolphins. I was always involved with the NFL. So my entire adult life, I've been tied to the NFL and the Miami Dolphins in some fashion or form.
Nat Moore is with us. Who's the most difficult Dolphins alumnus to deal with? Is it the guy sitting to my right?
No. Channing is easy. But
no, I'm sorry. You must not have heard the question. I don't think you must have a bad line.
You're a hater.
Because I believe I just heard you say that chanting is easy. Now, you try spending 4 hours a day with him.
I've done that before. I've spent a whole week with him at a time. You know, in Hawaii.
In Hawaii.
Well, then you know what I go through then, and it ain't fun.
No, Nat, he was, what was it? It was like a football outreach, football camp thing. So the Pro Bowl was out in Hawaii, and Nat brought some players over, a number of players, and we jumped around from island to island through football camps the Pro Bowl week. And every morning about 7 a.m., we had to be up to get on the bus, to get on the plane, to fly wherever we're doing the football camp from. And early in the week, Nat was worried about me because he's like, I know you like to party. And I told him, Nat, I will be in the front office. I'll be downstairs by the concierge every morning at 7 a.m.
Channing does have he's got an amazing ability to do that because we do shows from Vegas every now and then. It doesn't matter how late we're out. There's never any worry. If Channing is supposed to be somewhere, he will be somewhere.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I'm telling you, I go running over to his hotel and I'm like, and he's sitting there drinking a cup of coffee, saying, I'm ready.
It might be two or three bad ones behind me, but I was down there on that. It might have been something coming out the elevator behind me, but I was in the lobby.
You saw it with your daddy at the club.
Oh, Nat knows Randy now.
Oh, my goodness.
Nat knows Big Randy.
I got it. I would love a reality show from Nat Moore's nightclub with Randy Crowder bouncing around in the 80s. I mean, that just I'm getting a buzz just thinking about it.
Hey, if you'd have saw Randy on the dance floor, you will understand why Channing is the way he is.
He's got the moves.
Oh, Big Randy. He put that booty out and starts wiggling that big thing behind him. You don't know what's going to happen when Randy gets going.
All right. Well, Nat Moore, a great representative of the Miami Dolphins, and just kudos to the Miami Dolphins for replacing the equipment that Edison Senior High lost in a fire. And again, that is where Nat Moore went to school, and it all kind of falls into place with that. I got to ask you, I know you want to get back to your golf game. Real quickly, just a debate we've been having on the show this week. Is sweet potato pie a dessert or a side dish?
Well, it depends on the individual.
Well, according to Nat Moore.
To me, it's something you eat all the time. You don't have to eat dinner or lunch or anything else to eat sweet potato pie.
So is it an entree on its own? If Nat Moore owned a restaurant, you'd list sweet potato pie as an entree?
Hey, if I'm hungry, it's an entree. Yeah.
All right, fair take. Fair take.
You got to add a third one to the list.
All right, get back to your golf game, Nat. How are you shooting out there? How's the course playing, as a matter of fact? He's gone. He must have lost him. That's all right. How's the course playing, as a matter of fact? They do deserve plaudits, though, honestly, the Dolphins. And Nat Moore is such a driving force behind that. He mentioned Jason Jenkins, who really is the driving force behind the Dolphins community partnership.
And the tragedy of the fire brings it to social media, but they're weekly. There's weekly things I go to where the Dolphins give thousands of dollars or hours or whatever it is to the community of South Florida.
They're constantly at different schools giving football equipment. I just saw a highlight on one of their social media outlets where they had a whole bunch of underprivileged kids that didn't have proper sleeping conditions at home. And they outfitted. Did you see that?
Yes.
It was Hard Rock Stadium. They had 50 or 100 beds with, you know, the Dolphins quilts on it and the Dolphins pillowcases or whatever. And they brought the kids in and like, yeah, here's your new bedroom. Like, we're going to have this shipped to your house.
And to events like that or Habitat for Humanity, when they go and renovate the homes, they send out emails to the alumni. And I make as many as I can, and I make one out of five.
Right. That's how many they're doing.
They do it every week. I get two or three emails about something great they're doing in the community. It doesn't hit Twitter, Instagram, and all that stuff, but they're changing someone's life. And y'all don't hear about it, but they're really changing hundreds of young kids. And it's a lot of kids, but grownups as well, changing people's lives.
So, and to all the people texting like this texter, well, it's because the Dolphins need to make up for the awful product they put on the field. I told you in the last segment, we're not talking about on the field stuff. We're going to criticize them plenty come this season, I have a feeling. This is something completely separate. Separate the two and say it's really nice to have a sports franchise in the area that's also a good community partner.
If you date a spouse with a lazy eye, that you don't know which way it's looking, but they can cook real well and they're nice to you, do you talk about the cooking and the relationship, or do you always talk about the lazy eye?
See, I thought I had wrapped it up nicely there. You know what I mean? Like, I thought I had put a nice little bow like on what we did there.
The Biggie Smalls eye, where it's always looking a different direction.
Like Forrest Whitaker?
Yeah. Like, if you have a Forrest Whitaker eye, but they're pleasant
no,
and they
no.
cook
I
nice.
I don't even know what that has
and
to do with
awesome.
What we're talking about.
But it's just it on the fields of Forrest Whitaker
up,
eye.
I really had wrapped it up nicely. Like, I had wrapped it up perfectly. Hey, they may not be great on the field. They're a good community steward. And then you go into some craziness about a woman with a lazy eye cooking a nice breakfast. I don't even know what you're talking about.
Have you ever had a woman with a lazy eye?
Well, take a break.
They have attributes. They have attributes. They yeah. have attributes.
What? They can, they've got good peripheral vision?
Yeah, they're like a deer. They can see behind their own head.
What, Solana? You've got something to weigh in?
I was going
to
say I might try a lazy eye.
No, all right.
Try
enough.
A lazy eye.
It doesn't even make any sense.
Try a lazy eye. Hashtag.
Where are you going to go? No. You're going to go on lazyeye.com. What is it?
No.
Farmersonly.com.
No.
Lazyeye.com.
What's those dating sites?
There's a section on
yeah,
Tinder.
Lazy eye only.
They have like J Swipe. I'm sure they have
all
one for
right,
the lazy eye.
All right. Dolphins did something nice. You ruin it. And that's why I know you're the most difficult alumnus to deal with. And that just didn't want to say anything because he wanted to get back to his golf game. Quick break for us on this Friday, and we'll come back after this.
Chip going on. Daniel Berger, professional golfer, local guy. How's the course playing today, as a matter of fact?
Radio.com. Radio.com.
It's our Friday song. We made it.
It's our last Friday for a while.
Last Friday for a while. I leave tomorrow morning for Tokyo.
Don't go over there and get beat up, man.
How long? I'm not going to get beat up in Tokyo.
They'll jump you. You get to talking trash.
Actually, I've seen Karate Kid.
Get
it
on
happens.
You, man. Yeah.
How long, when you went to Africa, how long was the travel? How long was the actual flight?
I think it was a 10 or 8 and a 10. But we were traveling for a day. 24
yeah.
hours.
Right? Yeah.
We had to go Miami, New York, Amsterdam, Kenya.
Cool.
It was a day.
That's the quickest way into Kenya?
Yep. You can go New York, somewhere else, Kenya.
But you're going somewhere before Kenya.
Yes. You can't go from the US to Kenya.
We're going West Palm to Dallas tomorrow and then Dallas to Tokyo. But that's a 13-hour flight, Dallas to Tokyo.
I'm telling you, when you get on them flights and watch four movies,
yeah, it's just,
and they serve another meal, another meal, we had another meal.
What am I doing?
Get me off of this plane!
Yeah, I was trying to figure it out on like the clock because you get there, but it's like, but yeah, it'll be like 24 straight hours of
and
travel.
You're traveling through time zones, so I don't know which way you're going, but it'll get like you'll leave. And it'll get dark real fast, but then light real, real fast.
So my wife turns 50 on June 30th. So we're going to take off tomorrow from Dallas to Tokyo. And at some point, it's going to become Sunday before it really should be Sunday for us. But she's going to be 50 early. And we'll be, you know, once we hit the international dateline, she will be 50 years old. I should say, happy birthday, Lori, 50. That's a big deal. And she is the love of my life more even at 50. I think I met her at 25, quarter of a century.
That's cool.
That I've known her. So this is be a fun trip. But yeah, we're leaving for Tokyo.
Tell them on the plane to announce it over the
loudspeaker. I was going to do that, but yeah. I think it'll happen in like the equivalent of midnight, which I don't know how it works. So is it going to be pitch black and quiet?
Yeah, and that'd be even better because nobody will interrupt the announcement.
Ladies and gentlemen, will they just give me the thing?
Just go snatch it off the wall.
Ladies
man.
And gentlemen, maybe I can get Mike Biamonte to record something before I leave. But anyway, yeah, so I'll be gone for 2 weeks, and Crowder will be in Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yes.
And then you'll be off. You're going to take a little road trip yourself.
Yep, till the 14th. You'll both be back on the 15th that Monday.
Yep. So we'll both be back on Monday, July 15th. And if all goes well, in our brand new studio.
That's exciting.
In the brand new building, because we got the timeline today. So if all goes well, oh my goodness, this is my final show. If all goes well, and that memo that they sent out today, there wasn't any room for this. Was here's your official timeline. We are cleared and good to go. So I think this is for real. Wow, it just hit me. This is my final show in this studio.
Yep. You got to do something, man. What you want to do?
Oh, I can already breathe easier. This has been 6 years of uncirculating air, microphones falling on me.
Well, I guarantee we're going to feel better, be healthier.
Oh, my God. I mean, we're going from a sick house to, like, you know, one of these brand-new-fangled places. We're going to have a window.
Can't think about it.
A window!
To be able to see the world while you work?
We're going to be able to turn our microphones on and off when we feel like it. Not when Alejandro feels like it. Yeah, it's not going to be good for you.
I'm not a fan of buttons.
Because he's not going to remember to mic himself. Like, I, being in radio my whole life, I enjoy miking myself. I've never had to wait for someone else to mic or unmic me, but in these godforsaken studios, that's what we have.
How many times in the first week were you here?
You are never going to turn your mic on.
Nope.
Then when we go to commercial, you're never going to turn it off.
Nope.
And so you're going to hear all kinds of uncensored stuff. Wow, that just hit me. This is the final show in this studio.
You're a little sad?
A little bit. Yeah. A little bit. And knowing the history of this studio, too, right? I mean, this is where Jim Mandich did shows for so long. And
Neil?
I don't think Neil Rogers worked here in this studio. I think he worked in, like, that studio, or they built that studio for him, but he never did any shows here. He had that home studio built in Amsterdam and Toronto, and so I don't think he ever really came here.
Wow.
But
isn't it named the Neil Rogers Studio?
No, it's the Jim Mandich Studio.
Big-ass picture on the door.
have you seen the... I mean, it's a fathead of Jim Mandich on the door.
You know, I also sat there as well.
And now we question why.
I'm part of that legacy.
Yes, you are. You're part of that legacy. Wow. That just hit me. Oh, it's a big deal. Greg Likens has done shows here.
Yeah. He's up next.
Wow. I think he's doing the show with you
next week.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yep, me and Greg.
Well, this is...
And then I believe Dono is on with Beeson?
JB.
Yeah, yeah, John Beeson's filling in for Frito next week. I don't know if he's filling in for him all 4 weeks that he's gone, but that's pretty cool for UM fans, right? John Beeson filling in?
Yeah. Was he better than me? Don't answer.
John Beeson?
I know the answer, and I don't want to answer.
I mean, is that a real question?
I got him on radio, though. I'll take that. You can go to hell, Solana.
Somebody says Tokyo is two syllables. Tokyo. Not Tokyo. Okay.
Tokyo.
Tokyo.
I don't like that. Tokyo.
What do you think, Papa?
Oh, here y'all go.
Where do you rank Hawk, this studio? Because I know you did shows.
I know what's coming. I'm not that stupid. Go ahead. Just fire it off if you want to do it, because we're running out of time. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not getting into that stupid-ass conversation with you.
We got action. Jack. 560 Hawk versus 790 Hawk.
Wow.
Who you got, Hawk?
Wow. That is a tough one. Who's the better version of Hawk?
Chan?
560 Hawk or 790 Hawk?
Who you got, Chan? Papa?
Not Papa or Chan. I got 560 Hawk.
I don't think you ever listened to me on 790.
Not one day.
You didn't know who I was till I got here.
Nope. I didn't listen to radio before that. Before I retired, I did not listen to sports radio.
Anything else? You good?
Yeah. I'm you got to answer your own question.
Yeah. Oh, I did. Oh, I didn't.
No, you didn't.
I'm a prisoner of the moment. I go 560, Hawk.
My man.
Me too.
I like it.
Prisoner of the moment. All right.
790, Hawk. Kind of overrated anyways.
Yeah, totally overrated. I don't know how I got this gig, to be quite honest.
Talk
all right.
About yourself, correct?
Anybody? Oh, I mean, listen, no one can sell me like me. I learned that from Sid.
Hey, you're right. Best ever. Best ever to do it.
Best ever.
Best ever. God created mouth is because of me.
So Greg Likens is coming up next. So I'll be on vacation the next 2 weeks. July 15th from the brand new studio. Nat Moore was excellent. Doug Plagans today had a bad phone line, so don't listen to that, but we'll post it anyway. And that'll do it. Everybody have a great and safe weekend. Everything will be posted at WQAM.com. Way to go, Team USA. And I will speak with you July 15th. Crowder will speak with you el lunes.
Gotta get a lady with a lazy eye.
Okay, Paula Deen.
Oh, my mom's fat? I'll punch you in the mouth.
Right, here's a keg in your head.
Yeah.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.